For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with his commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new person out of two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came to preach peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And we learn here that we are brought near to each other by the blood of Christ. And there's neither Jew or Gentile. And one of the biggest miracles in all history is that in Christ, the Jews and the Gentiles worship together. We're one body. And we're citizens of the same country, even if we're not from the same country physically on the earth. We're members of a family, of a household. But the question is, how should the members of those families behave towards one another? Well, you know, a little bit of common sense applies. I mean, if we treat each other as Jesus would treat us, that would work. But there's a set of passages. There's a set of, I don't know, Jen, how many are there? One another passages, about 45 or so. There's a lot of them.
I think they're like 30. They're like 50.
Yeah, but really, of those 50, it comes down to about 15 or 20 different categories. And these are what we call the one another passages. And these are the passages in which we learn how to live together as Christians. So we're all in it together. We're all part of the same family, the same household. All right, but God gives us some guidance, I guess you could say, some guidance on how we should live together as a family. And we use our midweek time, we call it sometimes family time. And we have our family discussions. So we're going to look at a bunch of one another passages. We're going to talk about loving one another. We're going to talk about submitting to one another. We're going to talk about serving one another, bearing with one another, encouraging one another, being devoted to one another, teaching and admonishing. We got a lot of stuff to cover. All right? And so tonight we're going to talk about loving one another, submitting to one another, and serving one another. Okay, got it? So let's go to John 13, 34 and 35, which all of us know quite well. John 13, 34 and 35. I think this is going to be very familiar to everybody here. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. All right, and, you know, I remember the very first time I came to a church like the one that I'm part of now, that I hope the Merced Christian Church will become. I remember I'd been kind of on a spiritual journey for a few years. Back when I was around, 21 or 22, I kind of decided the pot-smoking knucklehead, partying, happy-go-lucky, you know, live-for-pleasure thing was not going to be my thing because I believed in God. So I began kind of like a search because I had no real preconceptions about what God was like exactly, what kind of religion he wanted us to have, what kind of worship. I knew he needed to be worshipped. And so, you know, I checked out Hinduism and did some mantras and we did our little, you know, thing there. And then once I was open to the Bible, I started studying the Bible. And then I showed up at a church very similar to the one that we're hoping to establish here. And what I noticed right away is, wow, these people love each other. And it struck me, because it's not like I'd never been to a church before. But I wasn't like a big church goer. I know some of you were like major church goers. Others of you weren't. I think Laura, you've gone to a lot of different churches, haven't you? You have a lot of experience in Christianity. I didn't have a lot, honestly. But all I knew is when I saw this group hanging out with each other, and I saw their genuine concern for one another, their friendship with one another, their love for one another, it said to me, you know what? I finally found my spiritual home. And at that point, the process of studying the Bible, repenting, being baptized into Christ, it was a kind of almost inevitable. And Jesus says here, this is how people outside the church are going to know that this is the real thing. It's by our love for one another. By the way, I'm lecturing here, but we're going to do some discussion. So be prepared to discuss, you know, how this works for you, how this is practical for you. All right, John 15:12. Almost the exact same thing, but, you know, it's just down the page, so we might as well read it. John 15:12, where he says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And if you think about how Jesus loved the disciples, that's going to give you some real practical ideas on what kind of love that he wants us to have for one another. Yeah, we talk about unconditional love. We talk about sacrificial love. And this is what God is asking us to do, is to have a genuine, real relationship with one another that's based on loving each other. John 15:17, this is my command, love each other. And so the thing for us tonight is to ask ourselves, in what ways are we already doing a pretty decent job of loving each other? And in what ways can we do a better job of loving each other? And I'm going to throw that open for discussion. We'll have some questions at the end. And I want us to be thinking about how we can do a better job here. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? Other scriptures include 1 John 3:11. This is how we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to love one another. And in 1 John 4, where it says, if you do not love each other, then the love of God is not in you. But I want to actually go to Philippians 2:3. I want to use Philippians 2:3 as this practical scripture that we can use to kind of define when Jesus says and when Paul says and others say, love one another, what are we talking about? Philippians 2:3. Actually, let me read verses 1-4 to kind of get the context here. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, does anybody there have any encouragement from being united with Christ?
Yes.
All right, good. If you have any comfort from his love, do you have any comfort at all from his love? Even any?
Just a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, fine. If any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, do you have any tenderness and compassion at all?
Yeah.
All right, I hope so. Fine. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. So how do we love one another? By making ourselves nothing. Now, that doesn't mean we make ourselves like a doormat. That doesn't mean that if somebody offends us, we can't ever defend ourselves. That's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about considering other people as important as yourself. That doesn't mean, by the way, that doesn't mean that Jan brushes Laura's teeth or that Monica does the grocery shopping for Zane, that's not what we're talking about. In fact, next week we're going to talk about bearing one another's burdens and even the proper balance between carrying your own burdens and carrying the burdens of others. That's we're going to talk about that. But it's talking about taking the nature of a servant. How do we do this? By putting ourselves at each other's service. How can I help you? How can I serve you? And by the way, a good thought on that, as somebody shared with me not so long ago, don't necessarily just say, how can I help you? Figure out ways to help and say, hey, is it okay if I do this for you? By putting, and you know, I'm here in Los Alamos for about 5 days, and I'm telling you, Jan will tell you, ask Jan later, she'll tell you, when you're here, it's 24/7 serving. That's the only reason we're here, is to serve our daughter. I was outdoors picking up pine cones and trimming trees and on my knees, cleaning the floor, cleaning up messes, walking kids to school, walking kids home from school, going out shopping. You know what? That's what I signed up for when I was a parent, all right? So as parents, don't you dare complain about that. But how about having that same attitude towards one another?
Come on, John.
Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. I want to talk about two different aspects of loving each other. One aspect of loving each other is that kind that Jesus talked about. And the Greek word that's used is agape. A-G-A-P-E. Agape. Agape, which is that unconditional, unselfish, sacrificial kind of love. But really, there's another kind of love. And honestly, it's this other kind that attracted me to the church. Because honestly, when I came in fellowship with them, I didn't know how people served each other. So I want to talk about another kind of love that I don't think we talk about quite as much. But it's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so you have sincere love for your brothers. By the way, that word love is agape. All right? Love one another deeply from the heart. That word is phileo. The Greek language does a better job of expressing the different kinds of love. There's not just one word for love. There's eros, which is, romantic love or sexual love or physical love. There's agape, which is that Christian kind of love. This is phileo. We get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. This is the kind of the family kind of love. This is the affectionate love. This is the warm kind of love. This is the hug and kiss on the cheek, which I'm so bad at, kind of love. This is the kind of love that makes you feel safe. This is the kind of love that makes you feel warm. It makes you feel like you're at home. And, I think the Merced Christian Church, we're really good at this already, actually. But that's because we're so small. All right, but as we grow, we need this to be a thing. I remember when Jan and I moved to the San Diego Church of Christ. And it was a church of probably about 500 at the time. And there was a church where you felt that. It was a real thing. It's hard to explain it. But when you walk into a place where there's warmth and friendliness and openness and security, and people just love being around each other. By the way, that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to totally, totally like every person in the group. You know what I'm saying? But what it means is you're just going to enjoy spending time together. We just need to spend time together. And Zoom is great, but really, Zoom really kind of stinks at this kind of love. All right, so that's point number one in our hopefully fairly short lesson.
We're going to do 3 points. We're going to have a total of around 15 points of one another passages. The first one, which I suppose is the one that holds them all together, is we need to love each other, love one another. And again, love one another in that agape way. But I want us to take home lesson more tonight, even more, the phileo way, the family way. The fact that when you're in this group, you feel like family. Old, young, rich, poor, liberal, conservative, Hispanic, Asian, like rock music, even like rap music, even that. Yes, absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Point number two. All right? Submit to one another. The Bible calls us to submit to one another. All right? So let's, again, we're going to have discussion. So hopefully, maybe even write a note to yourself so you can discuss this later. What are some ways that you feel like we could do a better job of loving one another? Okay, got it? The second one is submitting to one another. Now, this is, the world kind of gets the whole love one another thing. I mean, probably half the songs on the radio or online or wherever are something about loving one another. But submitting to one another, now that's a whole other deal, all right? That you don't see a whole lot of people out there saying, you know what, we need to submit to each other. But it's in the Bible. Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What's it mean to submit to one another? Actually, there's more than one Greek word that is translated as submit. But this Greek word means hupotasso, which means to place under. And surprisingly, it's actually used in a military sense. Like the private submits to the sergeant, and the sergeant submits to the lieutenant. It's kind of like that. And it doesn't even sound right. I mean, Christians? Really? That's one of the things we're supposed to do? To place ourselves underneath one another is in rank or to obey one another? And by the way, what this does not say is, leaders, make sure people submit to you. All right, the Bible never, ever says that. Later on, it'll talk about wives submitting to husbands, but the Bible never says to husbands, husbands, get your wives to be submissive to you. That is totally outside the Christian way of doing things. So this is a voluntary submission. This is a choosing to put somebody over yourself. Not like they tell you what to do. Not like they're your boss. It's not really what it's talking about. It's talking about basically being willing to listen to other people, being willing in certain cases to do what they want to do instead of what you want to do. It means putting their needs before yours, not in every single case. We're not going to take this too far. It means a decision of the will to put yourself under somebody else. So, for example, Jan can submit to, let's say, Monica. So she says to Monica, Monica, what are the things that I need to change? Monica, please help me to be a better person. Monica, I need a spiritual guide right now. Monica, help me out here. Monica, please, if you see me doing such and such, correct me. It involves, for example, on Saturday morning, I was teaching a class on Hebrews, and not long after the class, I got a call from a good friend, and he says, brother, that was a great class, but I want to tell you that you interrupted somebody. Somebody was asking a question, you interrupted her in the middle, and brother, you shouldn't have done that. And I said to him, how dare you call me and correct me because I'm a teacher in the church and you're, you know, no, that's not what happened. The thing is, Daniel, my friend Daniel knew that if he called me, I'd be thankful for that. So that's what it means to me to be submitting to one another. So let's try to get the picture here. What would it be like to have a family where everybody in that family is in submission to one another? That's what he's talking about. I believe if that were true, then concerns would be shared in the church. And concerns would be met in the church. And feelings would be considered rather than ignored. All right, point number three. Like I said, this is going to be a fairly short lesson, partly because we started almost 15 minutes late, but also because I want us to spend some time discussing. Point number three, honestly, if you have point number one down, if you have point number two down, then honestly, probably point number three is practically, you know, not necessary to say. But let's go to Galatians 5:13. Galatians 5:13. I'm borrowing Liz's Bible.
Kate's
Bible, thank you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. All right. Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. If you go back earlier in the chapter, he says, if Jesus Christ has set you free, then you are really free. What that means is we're not under obligation. We don't have to serve each other in order to be saved. We don't have to fill in the blank. Christianity is not a have-to religion. Christianity is a get-to kind of religion. And yet, in our freedom, he says, don't you dare use that freedom to be selfish. In fact, what I want you to do is I want you to make yourselves the slaves of other people. This word serve one another could also be essentially be slaves to one another. So God wants us to be serving each other. And here's the thing is what we need to do is we need to be in the habit of looking around and asking ourselves, who in the body's needs are not being met? Some of us, their needs are being met better than others. You know, people maybe, especially in a large church, not so much in a small church, there's going to be people on the fringe. There's going to be single moms. There's going to be older people who don't have enough family getting with them. There's going to be people who need rides. There's going to be people who have developmental issues or even mental health issues. So we need to be branching out and figuring out ways to serve one another. You know, the Bible says in Acts 20, verse 35, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Yes? But you know what? Some people don't know how to ask for help. Some people are too proud. I don't want to help. That's selfish. But that's not the Christian way, because the bottom line is Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? So if you never receive, then how can anybody else ever be blessed? So part of this is we need to be willing to be served by each other. It's okay. I give you permission to have somebody else pay for your meal. Somebody else clean your house. Somebody else take you to an appointment or whatever that is. And, you know, because this is just part of what makes us a family. So that's what, by the way, that's from Acts 20, verse 35. What Paul's doing there, he's quoting Jesus who said it's more blessed to give than to receive. In order for this to work, in order for us to serve one another, then we're going to have great relationships, older with younger, campus with those who are not campus. All right, Now, actually, you know what? I think we've got enough time. I want to do one more one another passages. Oops. Oh, where is it? Oh, no.
You don't have the slide? No.
Oh.
It's a sign.
Oh. That's bear with one another. Bear with one another. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Yeah, okay. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, when you're bearing with somebody, what does that mean? It means they're annoying you. It means that you don't like what they're doing. It means you disagree with them. It means they have a trait that you don't like. For example, if you're a perfectionist, this is a person who makes messes. If you're a person who likes to have things really well planned, this is the person who doesn't seem to be able to plan at all. If you're the person who likes to talk really softly, this is the person who talks too loudly. If you're the person who doesn't like to people to be too affectionate, this is the person who comes up and gives you a big fat hug when you want them to leave you alone. Think about it. What kind of people just bug you and drive you crazy? You need to love people who dress totally out of fashion. Either that, or you need to love people who are so fastidious and so into fashion. It's like, what are you spending your money on? All right? We need to even bear with those who have bad personal hygiene. Although there are some other passages that say you might want to mention that to them. All right? So we need to be able to bear with one another. Okay, great. So let me go back and let's look at our discussion questions. This is about bearing one another's burdens, by the way. All right. So question number one, and then I'm just going to stop talking. You can answer any of these. What does submit yourselves to one another mean to you? And how will you put that into practice? Are you someone that others consider a servant? Or are you one of those who does not like to be served? Is there somebody in our fellowship or not who you feel needs to be served more? All right? Any thoughts, any comments, any questions? I'm going to stop talking for a little while.
Yes. I guess I'll start number one. To submit to one another, what does it mean to me? Even if someone wants to do something I don't agree or I don't think that would be the way I would do it, I still obey. Or I still at least see it through.
And you get behind it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be real practical here, I sing songs that I don't remember very well.
Oh.
And awesome. I try and do it anyway.
So you have a good attitude towards the song leader?
She bears with me.
I think, yeah, that's under bear with one another, huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think in the sense of denying my own selfish nature in a lot of ways, like sometimes I have the chance to take a little nap before Bible talk, but instead I want fellowship with people. Mm-hmm. So being there, showing up, I remember a more actual instance. Jan had to call me higher on my tardiness.
Uh-huh.
And first, I had shown kind of a defensive spirit, but after really reflecting on how my tardiness may impact other people and their expectation of me, it really made me more considerate of that, of them, because my mom used to make me late everywhere, and it let me down a lot until some sisters told her, you know, you're always late. So she started making it a rule of hers to be on time places, and I was really surprised by that when she showed up to pick me up on time instead of an hour later. So it just made me feel really good that she got there on time, and so I want to make people feel that way too, that that I'm there for them and I'm there as a priority, this is my priority. But I think another way I have to submit is sometimes I like to be the teacher. Sometimes a teacher could be taught also. Like, there's other people are knowledgeable, not just me.
Great. I see a Stephanie and Alana joined us. That's great. I don't know how much of the outline you guys heard. We talked about loving each other, submitting to one another, serving one another, and bearing with one another. What we're doing now is we're just sharing our thoughts about that. Anybody else?
In my case, I find myself submitting to others by being graceful and reminding myself to treat them the way I would want to be treated. And to not, to remind myself not to judge those around me, and to, well, I also remember something that someone told me a long time ago is that God does a new thing in everyone. So what may seem one way to another person, it's not necessarily the same for them. And everyone has their own path and their own road. But just to encourage them to always seek God and to seek His love so that we can love each other. So that's how I submit.
Great comment. I really appreciate it, Laura. One thing I've noticed in my life is that there's all these different qualities, but the ones that I'm good at tends to be the ones that I think are the important ones. And the ones I'm bad at tend to be the ones that I think aren't the important ones. So I've learned to think a little bit differently. That kind of goes back to Philippians 2:3, considering others better than yourself. Because the honest truth is, that's not the way I actually am naturally, to say the least. Yeah. Michael, do you have a comment?
Oh no, I'm just absorbing it all. It's been really great.
Okay, good.
Although number two did stick out, and you had mentioned to choose one of the three.
Yeah.
Oh, are you someone that other consider a servant, or are you one of those that might be served? Yeah. I think I, the former, and try to serve. And it was actually kind of cool the other day at work. I was, you know, walking to try to do my pitch, and there was a homeless guy that I see that shows up there at the laundromat every day. So we've been talking, and so I decided to buy a pizza and share it with some of the homeless people that were out there, and as well as those that were coming over to our booth to try to get a phone, probably more so a slice than a phone, but things worked out.
Good. Appreciate that. Yeah, I think that, you know, on some of these areas, I think, honestly, the Merced Christian Church, I think we're doing fairly well, but it is easier when we're smaller. And as we grow, it's going to be harder for us to, first of all, eventually, the bigger the group, the more likely there is somebody in there who's going to annoy you. You know what I'm saying? So that bearing with one another thing is real. Roommates have to bear with one another, don't they, Monica?
Yes, I like my roommates, but I had been in situations where my roommates were a little, there's a lot of tension, so you live with them, so there's no escaping.
Yep, that's right. And because we're the family of God, we're kind of stuck with each other for better or for worse, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Let me kind of show you. I'm going to forward the thing here. Some of the other things we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about encouraging one another. That'll be great. Being devoted to one another. Teaching and admonishing. All right. There's something that maybe doesn't happen a whole lot in the world, to say the least. Confessing to one another. Accepting each other. Forgiving each other. We're going to talk about a lot of these for the next 2 weeks. I think we'll end a little bit earlier than usual tonight. I'm glad everybody came. Do we have snacks over there for the guests, Jen?
I do have a berry pie.
Oh, are you going to save some of that for me? That was given to us, you know.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's all right. If they eat it all. You know what? I'm going to submit myself to you all, and I'm going to serve you all, and I'm going to love you all. So you can have the whole pie. And it's okay.
Look out, Zane.
It was a yummy pie. It was well put in my tummy.
Good stuff. All right, everybody. I love you, and I'll see you in 2 days.
You got it.
Thanks for coming tonight.
You betcha. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Everyone.
Bye. Bye, Zany.
Mm-hmm. He's not in the room, but I'll tell him you said that.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of everybody.
Bye, Michael. Where's my lead?
Oh, I forgot to stop sharing. Oh, that would have been better, huh? We would have better
views
of each other. I'm so glad you came to our house, Laura.
Oh, thank you. It's always nice being here.
How are you doing?
Doing well. I thought, again, in my head, it started at 7, and I was on the laundromat.
Oh.
And I was rushing.
Did we feed you?
Oh, no, but I'm okay.
Well, we should have.
Well, you fed me spiritually.
Okay, very good.
That's what counts.
You're awesome.
Well, I do have pie. Yes, I'll try some of Jan's pie. Monica was raving about it all last night.
I had chocolate chip pretzel ice cream.
You didn't get anything. What did you have, John?
Chocolate chip pretzel ice cream tonight, so that was good dessert.
Oh, chocolate chip pretzel.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's Breyers, so it's got to be good. I'm cooking tomorrow night.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
Be safe. Love you, babe.
You too. Bye.